You're tuned in to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, one of the most listened to podcasts in the Christian community. You can visit our website, toddcoconato.com. And now broadcasting live around the world from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, here's the host of the show, Pastor Todd Coconato.
Well, this is part of our Transform Mind series. We did a broadcast on the Transform Mind, and it got more downloads than just about any broadcast we've done recently. So there must have been something there. And I think what it is a lot of people are concerned that they are distracted, and rightfully so. There are a lot of distractions in the world. And so today we're going to do part two of the Transform Mind, navigating the distractions, the call for a Transform Mind. Because while there is a definite need for us to be watchmen and have a concern, and trust me, if anybody understands, I do. But there's also a lot of things that are set out there to get you distracted from doing what you're called to do, what you're meant to do, from the things that you're supposed to be doing. And I even see it in some of the Christian circles that I hang with, where folks are talking about things over and over and over again, and they're getting away from teaching and preaching the Bible. And that's a concern, and it's a loving concern. It's not like they're bad people or anything. But we always have to stay focused on what God is saying and what he's up to. And so it's this delicate balance of us being discerning, understanding the times, doing what we're supposed to do, but at the same time, not getting distracted by the things that the devil has going on, because we need to be in the flow of the Spirit of God. And God is moving right now. And so what is he doing? What is he doing in our life? What is he doing in our family? What is he doing at our job? What is God up to in our life, despite the distractions? So today we're going to address a critical challenge that's facing every believer. I believe it's a very timely word. And it's the battle between a transformed mind and the distractions of this world. You know, the Apostle Paul gives a profound directive in Romans 12:2. This is what he says. And do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this call to transformation is not merely for personal growth, but is essential in distinguishing ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ in a world that constantly seeks to divert our attention and our allegiance and what we're doing. The devil is always up to something. He sends his minions, demons, to torment you, to mess with your head, to mess with your mind. And there's a battle going on. It's a battle against worldly distractions. And trust me, I've had to learn this, because the devil wants me so distracted over here that I don't focus on what I'm supposed to be doing over there. In 1 John 2:15-16, it says this. 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So let's look at this. Do not love the things of this world. How many Christians, and we're not trying to be critical, this happens to us sometimes, how many Christians do you know that love the things of this world? I mean love. I mean, they're all about it. You have a hard time distinguishing them from other worldly folk. Well, that shouldn't be. See, because the Bible says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What? How can that be? Because we know so many people that do love the things of this world, but say they're Christian. Well, I'm not saying they're not saved, but they've got distracted. They've got off course. And so what the Lord is showing us here is, look, you can't serve two masters. You can't be a double-minded person. Either you love the world or you love God. You can't love both. And this is where we as Christians have to discipline ourselves, and we need to understand what the Father wants, what God wants, because the love of the Father is going to show us a different path than the path of the world. What does it say? For all that is in the world, he goes through a few things here. The lust of the flesh. Friends, you can't turn on a television show, especially on Netflix or something like that, and not have some demonic or sexually perverse or some type of imagery that is going to cause us to stumble, because the eyes are the window of the soul. What we long gaze at, what we look at, that causes feelings, and we can commit adultery in our mind. And these shows, why do you think the devil has made it where these television shows, these halftime shows, the Super Bowl, you know, these different things that they're constantly pushing on us on television, this is very important to me because I came from Hollywood and I saw the casting couch and I saw a lot of the perverse things that go on there. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that these perverse things are coming out about Hollywood because that's the spirit that they're operating in. And that's why God's saying right here, look, the transformed mind doesn't have the lust of the flesh. We've got to die to that. We've got to die to our flesh. When we feel the lust coming on us, we've got to cast it out. Cast it down. We know this is not of you, Lord. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. What are you looking at? You know, Satan can't read our mind. But the demons, his minions, and Satan himself, they can see. Now, Satan's not omnipresent, so he's probably not attacking you personally, but the demonic realm, his minions, his version of angels, fallen angels, they are attacking you via torment, via lying spirits, via oppression. They try to oppress us. They want to make us feel depressed, oppressed, you know, all these different things. And one of the ways that these demonic entities attack a Christian is they allure you. There's an alluring spirit. They try to enchant you or allure you sexually in different ways. And so the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, it's very important that we get a hold of that and we stop it. We cancel the assignment. We ask the Holy Spirit for strength. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit for strength in that moment of weakness. In that moment when you start lusting and you know that your mind is going to a place where it should not go, whether you're married or single. And so it's interesting, it says the lust of the flesh, which I believe is many different things. It's not just sexual lust like we think about it, but it's also different types of lusts. You know, lust can be a broad brush. You know, there's many different ways that lust comes in. In fact, let's look at the definition of lust just so we understand. So the biblical definition of lust encompasses a strong desire or craving, particularly for what is forbidden by God's commandments. It is often associated with intense desires of sexual nature, but listen to this, but can also refer to a covetous or a wrongful desire for anything not rightfully one's own, such as possessions, status, or power. Lust is considered a sin because it leads individuals away from obedience to God's will and towards, get this, a self-centeredness and idolatry of a desired object or person or thing. So there's several scriptures that highlight the nature of lust and its opposition to God's design. Of course, there's Matthew 5:28. Which says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with his heart. Remember, we talk about that. Then there's James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. These are all distractions, friends. Then when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? To sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So you got to understand, and there's so much to go over here. But when we talk about these things, when we talk about a transformed mind, and when we talk about distractions, we've got to identify what exactly the devil uses. What are his distractions? So God is breaking it down. He's telling us in 1 John 2:15-16, here's the deal. Okay, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, well, what is the Bible talking about? The pride of life. What does that mean? So the phrase pride of life in 1 John 2:15-16 is part of a warning against loving the world or the things of the world. So in the New King James Version, which is the version I like to use, the verses read, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life refers to the human tendency, listen to this, to boast in one's achievements. boasting one achievement, possessions, status, or abilities. It represents a self-centered arrogance or vanity that glorifies human will and the achievements of man over God's will and his providence. Wow. We got a lot to cover today, friends. This is going to give you a big understanding of why the devil uses distractions and how you overcome. So you don't want to miss today's broadcast. We're going to be back. We got three more segments left. The transformed mind and understanding the distractions of the enemy and how we overcome them. You got to stay tuned. This is going to be a big breakthrough if you apply this. PastorTodd.org. PastorTodd.org. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as Remnant News. So thankful that you're here. You can go to our app now in the App Store. It's under Todd Coconato Ministries. Any App Store, just go there, Todd Coconato Ministries. So you see a big red R. Download it on your smartphone, on your smart TV. And you can hear these broadcasts right there. I was in a room the other day. It was a hotel room. And I was able to listen to these broadcasts on two different formats, on YouTube and on Spotify. I thought that was pretty cool. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can listen to the broadcast. And thank you for listening to the broadcast. We appreciate it. Appreciate that you're here. And I think this is going to unlock some things today. We're talking about the transformed mind. Let me kind of pick up where I left off here. So the phrase pride of life in 1 John 2:15 through 16, okay? It encompasses several key ideas. Number one, self-sufficiency. The belief that one can live independently of God, relying solely on one's own strength, intelligence, or resources. That's not going to work. Okay? This is what the world is pushing, and that's why so many people's lives are so messed up. They just kick God out of their life. Well, you can't do that. He's the creator of all things, heaven and earth, the first and the last, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end, and you need him, and I need him. We got to have the strength of God, the conviction of his Holy Spirit, the leading and guidance of his Holy Spirit, and of course, of his word. Otherwise, we will fail in this life. Why are so many people failing? Even though they look successful, they've got everything that this world has to offer. And this is what the scripture is trying to tell us. And it's an aspect of the transformed mind. The transformed mind is not caught up in the things of this world. That's what the scripture says. Now, are people applying this in the church? Well, you tell me. A lot of people aren't. Boasting. Number two, boasting. A boastful attitude about one's life achievements, wealth, status, or possessions, as if they were not gifts from God, but purely the result of somebody's efforts. You know, I did this. I got this. No, actually, you didn't. If you've had the favor of God and the blessing of God on you, and by the way, you know, good things happen to bad people, but bad things are going to happen to bad people eventually, okay? So that's why we're not looking at the possessions and the finances and the thing. Now, should a Christian be blessed? I believe, yes. In most cases, God will bless us if we're doing his will. If we're making it about souls and kingdom business and we're ultimately out there doing the will of God, I believe his hand of favor is on us. And I've seen this in my personal life, and not saying that Michelle and I haven't had struggles financially and things like that over the years. But overall, his blessing has been on us. His favor's been on us. His providence, you know, he's been with us. But if I started boasting and saying, I did this, the reason why I'm on the radio is because of me. No, God opened the door. God provided the resources. If I ever take that credit, then I'm in a dangerous place. But again, how many times do we do this? How many times do we think I did this? And I'm not saying that you didn't work hard, and I'm not saying that you don't deserve some credit for that. You do. But we've got to remember where our strength comes from. Where you know, the favor on our life, the blessings in our life, it is from God. God is good. And we don't want to have a boastful attitude because that's pride. So there's a balance. Like, yes, you can take credit for working hard and be thankful for the blessings in your life and say, hey, you know what? I did work hard from the ground up, and it was grassroots, and here we are today, and, you know, I didn't just sit and be lazy. I worked, you know, 12-hour days every day, and here I am. But I have to give credit to God for his hand and his blessing and his favor, because ultimately none of this would have happened without him. You understand what I'm saying? Worldly success and materialism, valuing and pursuing worldly success and material wealth as our primary life goals, often at the expense of spiritual growth and obedience to God. Now, again, this is something that a lot of people do. God is for Sunday. God is for like one day, I'll do my God thing. I'll put in the Christian time card. That's not a transformed mind. A transformed mind is every day of your life having an active prayer life, always being in the presence of the Holy Spirit, even when you're at work. Yes, you can be in revival at your job. I know that sounds crazy because you probably haven't heard that much, but you can. And God will use you at your job. He'll use you wherever you go. If you're in the Spirit, He will use you. If you say, send me, and you're like, yes, I want to be used, He will use you. He will use me. But when we put worldly success and material wealth, which, by the way, we can't take a U-Haul with us when we go to heaven. None of these things are coming with us. What does come with us is what we did here on earth. Souls, kingdoms, you know, kingdom business. If we made it about souls, we can take souls with us. Thank you, Jesus. That's pretty much all we can take is our own soul, our own salvation, and those that we got saved. Other than that, you're not taking much with you, are you? No. So valuing and pursuing worldly success and material wealth as primary life goals. It's okay if you value those things. Again, I go back. If you're a hard worker and you've worked hard, you're a realtor and you've been out there, you know, buying a bunch of land and now you have several properties and you've been able to build like a little mini empire or whatever, or a big empire like Donald Trump or something. You know, look, that's cool. Like, I'm not against that. But are you using it for the kingdom? Are you using it for the glory of God? Or do you feel like I built this and you're not giving God the glory and you're hoarding it? You're burying your talent. If God's blessed you in that area as a believer, we're meant to fund the kingdom. You know, I was just talking with one of our you know, staff at the church today. We were going over this and I said, look, if we get an extra 10 grand at the church, that doesn't go to my pocket. You know, I'm going to continue to live the same way I live. Like, I'm not going to start going out and buying a bunch of stuff because the ministry, if the ministry starts doing well, if the ministry starts doing well, guess what? That goes right back into the ministry and we expand. We get a bigger location. We do more ministry. We do more outreach. We help more people. That's where it should be going. That's where it does go, at least here. And so you can rest assured if you give to this ministry, it's going back. It's helping a struggling mom. You know, it's helping somebody who is in desperate need. They need, you know, they're homeless and we got to get them a hotel room, or, you know, it's going to kingdom business. And so that's what this is. Like, when you have a success in your career to the point where your needs are met and you're able to help others, I would say that's what God wants you to do. Help others, help the ministry, help in any way that you can to fund the kingdom. That's why God is blessing you, and He'll bless you more as you do that. He'll expand your territory. Those that bury that stuff, it's not going to happen. So the admission again, you know, the admonition against pride of life is a call to humility and recognition of our dependence on God. It warns believers not to be seduced by temporary and superficial measures of success promoted by the world, but to seek value and purpose in eternal things, the things of God. This teaching is consistent, by the way, with the broader biblical theme that emphasizes humility, reliance on God, and the just total need to give God the glory for all that He does in our lives. Because without a relationship with Him, we're doomed, especially in the world of today. So the next scripture that I want to read from is James 4:4, and it says, adulterers and adulteresses. Well, you know what? Let me go to this break, because we got to go to a break right now. We're going to continue to have this very important discussion about the transformed mind. And many of you desire to hear this because you really want to live for the Lord and you want to have success in your walk with Jesus Christ. What does that look like both here and eternally? How do we achieve it? How do we not get distracted from all the crazy, ridiculous stuff that they're throwing at us? We're in election year. You get all this stuff again. Can you believe it? We're in another election year. All this stuff again, all these accusations. Don't get distracted. Let this season be a season where you get more on fire for God than you ever have before. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as Remnant News. So thankful that you've taken the time to be with us today. Please download our new app on the App Store to get all the alerts and everything that we're doing here at the ministry. But also, it's a way to get in touch in case the power goes out and all the crazy stuff that we're dealing with. You know, they're talking about Black Swan event, the possibility of a major cyber attack. I mean, who knows what's going to be? There's so much stuff that they're planning, many of the plans of the wicked. But we know God is up to something too. And so we are focusing on what he's up to. How do we get in accordance and alignment with what God is doing? And that's what I think is very important as a believer right now, as we get into what God is doing. One of the ways we can do that, one of the very important ways we can do that, is have a transformed mind. Because the Bible says, do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we talked about, do not love the things of the world, do not lust over the things, not lust over flesh or lust of eyes or pride of life. And we've kind of gone through that. Now we're going to go James 4:4. I just kind of almost started going into it right before the break. And it says this, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. An enemy of God. What? An enemy of God? That's a pretty big statement. The pursuit of worldly desires and friendships will lead us away from God, placing us in a position of opposition to him. How many people do you know that started off right and got totally off course, and now they're off on some tangent? I've seen this so many times in the ministry. They start off well, they're on fire for God. Certain things happen in their life, either they get well known, or something bad happens, or something. But whatever it is, it knocks them off course, or they start getting distracted, because that's what humans do. We get distracted, and that's why God wants us to understand what it means to be, you know, a transformed mind Christian. Adulterers and adulteresses, he's calling it out. And a lot of people say, well, that's not me. Really? Because listen to this. If you're a friend of the world, which is, you know, enmity with God, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, you want to be a buddy like T.D. Jakes, you know, with some of these people. And I'm not trying to bash T.D. I'm not saying the guy is like totally off the rails. I don't know him and I don't really know what he does every day. But I will tell you that whole thing that happened a few months ago really, really was kind of sad. And I'm sure that, you know, most people are just going to continue to listen to him that listened to him before. And it kind of moved on and it is what it is. And we're not really hearing much about it right now. But, you know, he was at these parties with Puff Daddy. Remember that? With Puff Daddy. And listen, here's where I had a problem with it. I don't know if all the accusations that they were saying, because there was some pretty bizarre, crazy stuff that was going around. If you heard about it, if you didn't, I'm not going to get into it. There's some pretty bad, evil, crazy stuff that people were saying this man was doing. And look, I don't know. There really wasn't proof. So it probably a lot of it was just internet hype, but we don't really know. And if it comes out, it comes out. But, you know, he'll have to deal with God. That's the bottom line. You know, everybody's going to stand before the throne. So if he did do those things, he's going to have to answer for those things. And you know, God, what's been done in darkness will come into light. But I also don't want to falsely accuse him either. And I think there's a lot of that goes on the internet. But one thing that we did know that was true was that he did go to this party where Puff Daddy was. And look, I mean, he could have looked at it like, well, I'm going there to try to minister to this guy. But it sure didn't seem like that. It seemed like he was hanging. It seemed like he was out there hanging with the world, trying to, you know, fit in. And this is where I had a problem with the whole thing, and that's why I'm bringing it up again. And again, I'm not trying to pick on this man, but here's the deal, though, okay? A Christian, the Bible says that what place does light have with darkness? The Bible says that we are to avoid even the appearance of evil. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, look, am I perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Have I made dumb decisions over the years? Yes. So I'm not here sitting here on a high horse trying to act like I got everything figured out, okay? God has dealt with me too. And I know he's dealt with you too. And so I think about that scripture as he who's without sin cast the first stone. But we still got to talk about these things as Christians, guys. Because look, if you see me hanging at some Hollywood party at this point in the ministry, I would want somebody to call me up and say, what in the world are you doing, Pastor Todd? Why are you there? Now, if I could say, look, I was called to go there to specifically minister to this one man. I went there, I ministered to the man, and I left. Okay, I could kind of see something. Now, again, I would probably say, did you have to go there to minister to him? Could you have met him somewhere else? No, he only would talk to me at this party. That was the only chance, and I felt God led me there. Okay, that I can kind of maybe understand if something like that was happening. It would have to be on a case by case. I'd have to know the full situation, but at least you go there on a kingdom mission. Like, I used to know folks that would go to Hollywood and they'd go on the street and they'd minister to the drunk people coming out of the club. Now, they weren't necessarily going into the club and they weren't necessarily getting involved with the stuff that was going on there, all the muck and the mire, but they were in the area of a lot of darkness, but they went there specifically to minister to folks. And by the way, somebody did that with me when I used to go to the club. I came out and there was a guy with a big cross walking around. I'll never forget it. And I was drunk and I looked and I was convicted. And I was like, wow, this, you know, it reminded me of Jesus. And there was another time when somebody was doing worship right there on Hollywood Boulevard. And that convicted me. I actually stood there for a few minutes and just stared and listened to the worship. Now, this person had the chutzpah to go out on Hollywood Boulevard at 2 a.m. and play keyboard and play worship music. And yes, it impacted my life. So look, there are times when you go to a place of darkness to preach and teach the Bible, but you're on kingdom mission. It's different, though, if you're going there and you're just hanging and you're part of it. Because then it's the appearance of evil. What in the world, minister of the gospel, are you doing at a worldly party where there's sex and drugs and all kinds of crazy stuff going on? You shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be there. So this is what it's saying. Look, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's a pretty big statement. Like, dude, you can't be friends with the world. Because if you're friends with the world, you ain't friends with me. Look, I'm not trying to talk slang here from the mouth of God, but that's basically what's happening. Is that God is saying, look, if you're friends with the world, you are not friends with me. And this is a big statement. So the pursuit of worldly desires and friendships will lead us away from God, placing us in a position of opposition to him. And that should scare the pants off of us. Because you never want to be in opposition to God. Now, can I just share something with you today? How many preachers have I known that have gotten off course? They were great for 30 years, and then something happened in their life where pride started taking root, or they felt like they were entitled to something, or something shifted, and they didn't even see it in their own life. And the next thing you know, they're partnering with things of the world, partnering with demonic people and darkness, and they don't even see it because they're totally in deception. This is why God says every day we got to die to our flesh. Every day, that's me, that's you, that's anybody listening. Because there are all these things that are out there that are meant to distract and trap us, and sometimes we don't even realize it. A good thing, it starts off good, can become an idol. You know, something where God puts something on your heart to expose something. I'll give an example, Hollywood. I talk about Hollywood a lot because I came from there. And God spared me and showed me under the covers what was going on, the inner workings. And I'm thankful. I just saw Benny Johnson and Charlie Kirk. They were talking about Illuminati humiliation rituals. You know, I was like, wow, this is something I've been talking about for years. And now you got pretty mainstream Christian commentators talking about this. Thank you, Jesus. It's about time. But the deal is, this is all biblical. The deal is that we can't serve two masters. Let's go there. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. That's it. Mic drop. Jesus warns against the impossibility of serving two masters, emphasizing the need to choose our allegiance wisely. And this, my friend, has caught up a lot of people. They are serving two masters. They are double-minded, and that's why they're unstable. Why is there so much instability out there? This is why. Because you're going to be unstable in all your ways, according to the Bible. When you are totally messed up and you're serving two, you know, look, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot do that. You're going to be unstable. Double-mindedness. Let's talk about what is actually, you hear the phrase double-mindedness. What is it? So the term double-minded in the Bible refers to someone, okay, listen to this, who is divided in their loyalties, beliefs, or feelings, particularly in the context of their faith and trust in God. A double-minded person is depicted as being unstable and inconsistent, vacillating between trust in God and reliance on the word wisdom or solutions, worldly wisdom or solutions. This inconsistency reflects a deeper spiritual indecision or conflict where faith in God is compromised by doubts or worldly concerns. My God. The concept is most notably discussed in the book of James. We'll read the scripture, James 1, 6 through 8. But let him in faith with no doubting, for him who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. In James 4, 8, it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, in James 1, 6 through 8, the Apostle James is warning against doubting God's willingness to provide wisdom for those who ask. How many folks out there don't ask for wisdom and therefore they're not living in a state of a transformed mind? A transformed mind person asks God for wisdom. A transformed mind person asks God for wisdom. Hallelujah. That's a word right there. He describes the doubter as double-minded and unstable, illustrating the lack of faith makes one susceptible to being swayed by external circumstances. Mm-hmm. Much like a wave in the sea. And this instability is not just a matter of intellectual doubt, but reflects a deeper spiritual disunity where the individual's desires and trust are split between God and the world. This is it. This is where the distraction is coming from. So many people that call themselves Christians are double-minded. They're distracted by the things of this world. And James 4:8 calls for the purification of the heart for double-mindedness, emphasizing the need for sincere repentance and a wholehearted commitment to God. It highlights the importance of a unified purpose and allegiance in one's relationship with God, contrasting the divided loyalties that characterize double-mindedness. So being double-minded, according to the Bible, is fundamentally at odds with a faithful, trusting relationship with God. Wow. I'm going to say that again. Being double-minded, according to the Bible, is fundamentally at odds with a faithful, trusting relationship with God. Wow. It serves as a caution against allowing fear, doubt, or worldly concerns to undermine one's faith and devotion. The biblical admonition against double-mindedness urges believers to seek a steadfast, undivided heart that fully relies and trusts in God. We can't be double-minded. If we're double-minded, we're unstable. How many folks are unstable? This is why so many folks are messed up. Even in Christ, they say they're Christian, but they're totally messed up because they're not living in the transformed mind state. They don't even know what it is. The transforming power of God's word. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And the psalmist reveals that staying in the secret place of prayer and overcoming temptation, staying focused on God, immersing ourselves in his word is how you're going to be successful. You see what I'm saying? The secret place, there it is again. You know, the secret place of the Most High. In your prayer time, Lord, what do I need to change? What do I need to do in my mind? What am I thinking that's not of you? What is it in my actions that I need to change? How do I need to be more in tune with your spirit? We're going to talk about this. Stay tuned. Final segment. We'll be right back. All right. Pastor Todd Coconato here, Todd Coconato Show, Remnant News, Transform Mind, Part 2, Getting Rid of the Distractions. And we need to identify these things, and we've been doing that throughout the show. Scripture 5 is Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of this earth. And Paul is encouraging us to focus our minds on heavenly, eternal matters rather than being consumed by earthly, transient things. Now, this is hard because we're watchmen. If you listen to this broadcast, we see what's going on. We know all the evil stuff, or at least a lot of it. Many of you send me videos. Thank you for those. And, you know, we all are kind of seeing these different things. There's this eclipse that's happening. What's going on with that? Is it a sign? I believe it is. You know, we need to repent as a nation. There's so much wickedness in this hour. and there's a big urgency on many of our hearts. But what God is saying is, yes, know these things, be a watchman, be a prayer warrior, but at the same time, set your mind on the things of above, not the things of the earth. Focus our mind on heavenly, eternal matters rather than being consumed by earthly things. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down arguments on every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's something very special about bringing your thoughts into captivity because, you know, I tell people, pick and choose your battles. Not every battle is yours to fight. Let certain things roll off. You know, be the mature Christian. Be the change. Don't let every little thing bother you, because if you do, you're going to get caught up. Don't let every little thing bother you. We're called to actively resist and take captive every thought that contradicts the knowledge of God, aligning our minds with the things of the Spirit. And this is where we've got to be in that transformed mind state. What about living as transformed mind believers? Well, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And against such things, there is no law, because that's what God wants you to exude. A life transformed by the Spirit is marked by these fruits, which sets us apart from these other people in a world driven by selfish, fleshly, lustful, evil desires. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything of virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God's saying, focus your mind on the things of the Spirit. Many are the plans of the wicked, but if we live in that place, we're going to die in that place. But if we live in the Spirit and get in alignment with what God has for us, we are in the transformed mind state. And that is how, my friends, we survive the end times. Only way we're going to do it. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, God is always doing something. He is never not doing something. Every single day, every single minute of our life, God is doing something. We need to get in alignment with what he's doing. Paul provides a filter for our thoughts, guiding us towards what is worthy of contemplation and reflection. And that's how the Apostle Paul had peace even when he was in prison, even when he was bound, because they couldn't get his mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:16. Actually, I'm going to start in 15. Ephesians 5:15 through 16. It says, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. What? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does that mean? Redeeming the time. What does that mean? Redeem. When the world is filled with evil, we're urged to live wisely and make the most of our time, focusing on God's purposes, his plan, what he's up to. Redeem that time that the devil is, what's meant for evil is going to be turned around for good. Something bad happened, you start speaking it out. In Jesus' name, this was meant to take me down, but instead, this is going to be turned around for good, and what the devil meant to take me out is actually going to elevate me and promote me to the next level. Hallelujah. In the Spirit. In maturity in Christ. In a world full of evil, we're urged to live wisely, to make the most of our time being about the business of the King and focusing on his purposes. In Matthew 7:13 through 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who will go by it. Yes, many, many, many. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who will find it. Friend, a transformed mind person finds the narrow gate, goes through the difficulties of life, praises God through them, and gets out the other end with a double portion like Job, like Paul, like so many in the Word of God that were tested and tried, but they stood the course, they finished well, they stayed, and they said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm only passing through in this world. Yes, there will be trials, but behold, I have overcome the world, says the Lord. Jesus calls us to choose the difficult path that leads to life, a path that requires what? A transformed mind. That's why I'm talking about this. And a focused heart. We are not going to make it until the end and endure until the end if we don't have a transformed mind. Why? Because I just read all the pitfalls. If you get caught up in these things and you become double-minded, the lust of the flesh, and you cheat on your spouse, and you do something unscrupulous at your job or whatever, those things are meant to ensnare you and catch you up so that you don't finish well. That is the conform life because it's the flesh. Anything flesh is the conform life. Anything of the spirit is the transform life. We don't want, you got to look at every single decision and everything that you do through that lens. Is this conformed? Is this transformed? Is my behavior conformed? Is it transformed? Is how I'm treating my spouse conformed? Is it transformed? Is it how I'm treating my friends conformed or transformed? Am I compromising? Am I allowing areas in my life that I shouldn't be? That's conformity. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us in this hour where there's so much pressure and there's so many things to distract us. He wants us, think about this, he wants us to be conformed. Conformity has always been his thing. Look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You got to bow down or we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. You know, you got to bow down to the evil. No, you don't. What happened in COVID? You got to bow down to these restrictions, these unconstitutional restrictions. You got to bow down. You got to put something in your body that you may not want to put in your body. You got to conform, buddy. And if you don't, something's going to happen. No. I'm going to be like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. There's another one in the fire. You see what I'm saying? There's another one in the fire. As believers in this vibrant yet distracting world, our challenge is to not be caught up. It's in its allure, but instead to be caught up with Christ, focusing our minds and our hearts on him. And we need to heed the call of transformation, immersing ourselves in God's word, living out the fruit of the Spirit, and setting our mind on the things above. And by doing so, we stand as beacons of his light in a world that is dark, in a world that is compromised. How many people in your life are living in conformity? How many are distracted? You watch them. And you say, there's so much potential. They could have done so many things. This person is talented. They're anointed. They're good looking. They're you know, so many qualities that they have that are great. But why can't they ever achieve what they want to achieve? I'm going to explain to you from a scriptural standpoint, the reason why they can't achieve what they want to achieve is because they're in conformity rather than a transformed mind state. If somebody is walking in a transformed mind state, They are in the spirit and they can discern what's a distraction and they can discern what's warfare. And they listen, sometimes when I'm about to preach, big time pain comes on my body. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's so excruciating that I almost feel like I need to go to the hospital. Now, if I was in the conformed mind state, I would say, call 911. I'm in pain. I might be having a heart attack. I don't know what's going on. But in the transformed mind state, listen to this, I know it's spiritual warfare. I know the devil doesn't want me to get up there and preach what I'm about to preach. And so what I have to do is war in the spirit and put on the armor of God and start declaring and decreeing and speaking words of life over my situation. I'm not trying to brag, but I've learned that this is what I got to do. And what happens is that I get up there and I preach and I give the word that God put on my heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, the minute I get up there, the pain is gone. Gone. That's because all it was an attack. And you may be dealing with an attack in your life and you need to today realize this is just warfare and you need to take authority in the name of Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. Take authority over that situation that is meant to harm you. You will not be touched in Jesus' name. You will not be touched in Jesus' name. Transform mindset. That's the path to victory. Does this help you today? I hope it did. Hey, friends, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to live in the state of the transformed mind. It will be a game changer in your life. PastorTodd.org is the website, PastorTodd.org. We bless you. We'll be back soon. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today's broadcast of the Todd Coconato Show. Hey, listen, we opened the new Remnant Revival Church, which is Friday nights at 6 p.m. in Nashville. Friends, last Friday was amazing. I'm in awe of what God did. This Friday, we believe, is going to be even better. Come on out. Go to PastorTodd.org and find out where we're going to be in Hendersonville. And we hope to see you there this Friday night at the Remnant Revival Church.